Wake up, y'all. We got Sixers basketball today. Good morning on this day, Friday, October 18th. This is your Clap Your Hands Morning Sixers Update, giving you all the Sixers news you need to know, as well as what to keep your eye on. It's your man, James Jackson. We're here, y'all. It's the last day of preseason. Before we know it, we're going to have real meaningful Sixers basketball on the docket. We are almost there, and I appreciate you been rocking with me at the end of 3 weeks now of daily pods going on with Clap Your Hands. It's been just an enjoyable kind of time and ride, setting the tone and setting the pace for the start of the Sixers season with you guys in these daily pods, and I appreciate you guys coming back and listening to them every single day. As I always say, make sure you're following me and the pod on Twitter at JimmyJ23 on Twitter. At Clap Your Hands Pod on Twitter as well, because the season's right around the corner. So you're going to want to be following us now, because when the season gets started, we will hit the ground running on Twitter and on social media with clips, analysis, pre-post, and during Sixers games, man, you know we're going to be dialed into all things Sixers during the NBA season. So you guys know how I do on game days, right? I'm going to go through schedule, injury news, regular news, take a break. On the other side of the break, I give you my three things to watch for as the Sixers continue their preseason. So the schedule is as follows. The final preseason game tonight, the Sixers are in Orlando playing the Orlando Magic at 7 p.m. tonight at the Kia Center down there in Orlando. It's actually, the Magic actually spent a little bit of time away from their home arena after, you know, what everybody knows, the tragic events from Hurricane Milton and the destruction that it left to much of Florida, but the Orlando area in particular as well, too. So the Magic haven't spent much time in their home city. So it's actually good that they get to go back there, get reacclimated to their home city, to their home court, and play some basketball before the season starts. So happy for the Magic that they get to go back home. I'm still just have everyone in our thoughts for everyone that's dealt with the destruction and the kind of the aftermath of Hurricane Milton. But the Sixers are getting ready to take on the Orlando Magic, their final preseason game before we spin around in 5 days and take on the Milwaukee Bucks for the start of the 2024-2025 NBA season. It's right around the corner, y'all. Cannot wait. It's going to be really, really super exciting. All right. So, of course, we have injury news, or injury updates, I should say. I know for a long time we were able to skip right over this part of the daily pods. This time, and I have some injury updates, it's on Jerry McCain. So, Jerry McCain was discharged from the hospital today. As you guys know, Jerry McCain was taken to the hospital right after his fall. Or I don't say right after, but was taken to the hospital the night of his injury and his fall Wednesday night against the Brooklyn Nets, where he fell backwards and connected with the hardwood floor and just seemed to be in a world of discomfort and a world of pain. Well, the rookie was discharged from the hospital today around noon or 1 o'clock or so as a result of that fall on Wednesday night. He was actually further re-evaluated when he got home and was diagnosed with a pulmonary contusion, which is a bruise to your lungs without an open cut. So that's good. There's no laceration to the lungs, but a bruise and a puncture to that lung, which explains why he was doing all like the hyperventilating and why he looked like in so much pain. And the brother could barely breathe. It was having a really tough time breathing, plus the shock of it of going on. I can imagine why, you know, he's having that kind of reaction on the court. So what's also interesting is that he was evaluated for a concussion, but showed no symptoms of one and just remains with the diagnosis to his lungs. So I thought that was interesting, because when you saw it live, for sure, you could see his head whip back and you would think that his head hit the hardwood, but it I guess it didn't make contact, was able to catch himself, but you know, what really took the damage, what took the bear of that brunt was his lungs and getting that pulmonary contusion. So obviously he's not going to play tonight against the Orlando Magic, and the status for the season opener for him remains in question. You know, to the fact that it's 5 days away, I'm not sure the timetable for a pulmonary contusion, but, you know, a bruise to your lungs, that cannot be something that's comfortable to deal with, something that's kind of easy to heal and to rehab. So we'll see what his timetable is. We'll see if Jerry McCain is even ready to go for the season opener. And if he's not, Lord help us, add him to the list of Sixers not ready to go for the home opener. You heard Elliot, Jack, and I debate whether they should push Paul George and Embiid to play for the home opener. And I know Jerry McCain was a ladder man at the rotation at best, but it's just not what you want to hear. And, you know, it just wouldn't be good if he has to not be able to suit up for the home opener. So we continue to just have our thoughts with Jerry McCain. We just hope that he speedy recovery, hope that he gets better. And, you know, because he took a nasty spill, and we never want to see that. Okay, so moving on to some Sixers news. Our boy Maxey just continues to get showered with awards. He wins the NBA Community Assists Award. So Maxey has been named the NBA Cares Bob Lanier Community Assists Award winner for this year. He wins this for his efforts in the communities of Philadelphia and Dallas, his hometown, this past summer. So it's a pretty prestigious award around the NBA. The award is given to acknowledge NBA players for giving back to their communities. The honor is given to one player each month during the NBA's during the regular season, as well as one season-long award winner per year. So you kind of think of it like the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award for the NFL, except there's one for each month as well before we get to the season-long one. So Maxey has won it for the month of October, it seems, or maybe it's September. But, you know, I would seem that it's for October. It's the second time he's won this award. He won it back in November of 2022. He's only 23 years old, which makes this very significant that he's won this twice already. But he's just the third Sixer in franchise history to receive the award multiple times. Allen Iverson and Samuel Dalembert both received it twice as well. So he's going to be recognized for the award and presented with the Bob Lanier Trophy during a celebration prior to the tip-off of the team's season opener against the Bucks on the 23rd at the Wells Fargo Center. I will be there in attendance for the home opener. I will make sure to get pictures and videos of that ceremony pregame on the court, because just great on for Tyrese Maxey for just being a great example in the community as well as on the court. So much talk about Tyrese being the alpha. So much talk about Tyrese being the man and Tyrese stepping up. And it's just good to see that it's in everywhere, right? It's in all facets, all walks of its life. He's not just talking about doing it when he has the ball in his hands or when he's on the court. You know, he's just leading by great example off the court as well, too. Someone you can build a franchise around, someone who can, you know, a community could come together around. So, just, you know, congratulations to Tyrese on this award. Hopefully it's not the last time he wins this as a member of the Sixers. And who knows, maybe he strives to get the year-long one as well. All right. Unlike Maxey did during the summer, I'm about to take a break. On the other side of this break, I get into my analysis, my three things to watch for as the Sixers take on the Orlando Magic tonight for their final preseason game. Stay tuned. Welcome back, y'all. On this game day, Friday, October 18th, is your Clap Your Hands Morning Sixers update. Appreciate you guys kicking it with me every day as we get ready for the start of this Sixers season. We're getting ready for the Sixers' final preseason game against the Orlando Magic tonight, 7 p.m. in Orlando at the Kia Center. Make sure you're following me on Twitter at JimmyJ23. Make sure you're following the podcast as well at Clap Your Hands Pod on Twitter, because we all, me, Elliot, Jack, cannot wait for the start of the season. Can't wait to go through it with you guys. And it's the last preseason game tonight. I'm going to bring you my three things to watch for as the Sixers get ready to take on the Magic tonight. So the first thing that I want to watch for, and I know we get enamored a lot of times on you know, the offensive side of the basketball. A lot of the things that we look for in today's NBA have to do with the offensive side of the basketball. And you let my co-host Elliot Shore Parks tell it, the other side of the ball doesn't matter, the defensive side of the ball. But it's something that I haven't emphasized a lot in these daily pods, and it's actually something that I want to take a look at. In particular, our bigs on the defensive side of the ball. That's Andre Drummond. That's Gorshon Yabusele. Unfortunately, that's really it right now. I'm not going to really include a Dembona too much in this. You know, he gets, you know, he's going to be the third center off the bench, third big man off the bench. But it's really Drummond and Yabusele. Jack Fritz in our podcast yesterday with me, him, and Elliot brought up a good point when we were discussing Andre Drummond. And I was talking about how impressive I think he's been, specifically on the offensive end. And he brought up in the episode how he's essentially kind of been like a turnstile on defense, in particular in the pick and roll on the high ball screen, which is a very good point, because the high pick and roll, high ball screen is probably the most utilized play. Not probably, is the most utilized play in modern basketball. It's a high pick and roll. If you're big, has a tough time defending that, you're going to get put in blenders a lot. So I've been admiring what Andre Drummond's been doing kind of elsewhere. The rebounding, the paint presence, that kind of stuff is what I've really been focused on watching for him. And I've loved what I've seen a lot of people have. And I think because that's been the biggest deficiency on the Sixers, not the big man defending the high pick and roll. Although when it's, I don't want it to be bad, but Andre Drummond has been addressing the Sixers' biggest need, in my opinion, something that Embiid personally called him for. So that's what I've been looking at. But Jack brings up a really good point. I don't want my big to be on an island, to be inept in guarding the high pick and roll. It's not good. Right. So I'm going to be watching to see how Andre Drummond really, really does that. How good or how bad is he in defending that play in particular and just on defense? It's one thing to be good to clean up messes and to get blocks and help side blocks and all that. That's great. But if you're constantly out of position and you're constantly giving up buckets to your primary defender, that's not a good thing either. So I will be looking at Andre Drummond from that in particular. I'm also grouping Gorshon Yabusele in this too. Because you're going to talk about someone that people have been kind of enamored with on the offensive end. The observation that Jack made for Andre Drummond is the one that I've been making for Yabusele. It's very cool to see, you know, how versatile he is on the offensive end, how he can get to the basket, how he can shoot the three a little bit. That's awesome. That's not, in my opinion, why he wasn't able to last in the NBA the last time. To me, it's because it's hard for him to win matchups as a 6'9 kind of four who doesn't rebound well. You know, there were times where he was playing the five in the rotation against the Nets on Wednesday, and the Sixers had no rim protection. The Sixers were getting out-rebounded. I mean, they went to a 2-3 zone when he was at the five, and I don't think that was a coincidence. I don't think that was just to see something. I think that was to try to keep the Nets out of the paint because Yabusele was undersized and getting out-rebounded. So I'm going to be looking for that as well. I can imagine that there are going to be times where Nick Nurse, especially if Embiid's not going to be able to go and when he's not going to be playing at some time this season, that Nick Nurse is going to want to explore Yabusele at the five. And in a small ball lineup, I think he's well on his rights to be able to do that or to want to do that. But not if Yabusele can't produce at that position. Not if Yabusele can't hold it down. So for all the great that we've seen on the offensive end, it's been good. It's been impressive. I don't want to take away from what Yabusele's done or kind of what we've seen from him so far in the preseason, because it has been impressive. It has been noteworthy. It has been something that deems him worthy of being a steady person in this rotation. But he's going to have to improve on, one, the defensive end, and two, just being a bigger presence in there for the Sixers. So defense, rebounding, and a little bit of blocking shots for Yabusele has got to improve. But I'm looking for that. Defense from our bigs is the first thing that I'm looking for. The second thing that I'll be watching for, my three things to watch for, is does the ball still win? And if you guys don't know what that's a reference to, Nick Nurse was trying to instill a new motto in the training camp for the Sixers, if you guys can remember. It was called "The Ball Wins." And that's kind of a reference to or shout to kind of an idea of saying whoever has the ball more in a basketball game is going to win, or is going to put themselves in a position, much more of a position, to win the game. So obviously that means maximizing possessions, right, and getting the most out of your possessions. But it also means getting more possessions than the other team, right? So creating those extra possessions, whether it's creating turnovers, getting to loose balls, offensive rebounding, like turning up the intensity, right? That is how you create kind of these extra possessions. That is kind of how the ball wins in your favor. But with a team full of vets, old guys, with a team who's banged up, with a team who just seems to be unlucky when it comes to injuries, let's just call it what it is. Let's just call a spade. Let's just be honest with each other out here on this room. It's the trust tree in this podcast. We are unlucky when it comes to injuries. So I'm interested to see that if that is still a mindset. It's also something I haven't been too dialed into, haven't been seeing much of, and maybe the fact that I haven't seen much of it is my answer. But I want to see if the quote unquote, if the emphasis, not even quote unquote, but if the emphasis on extra hustle is still there. Of course, I want to see guys hustle. Of course, I want to see guys play as hard as they can. But I do understand if maybe this agenda was erased from the chalkboard in the locker room. I do understand if Nick Nurse isn't screaming this from the mountaintops anymore. I do. Right? Because it was a great way to kind of establish the tempo, establish the mood, make sure everybody's kind of ready to run through a brick wall together as the season starts. And then a guy gets clipped here, a guy gets clipped there, a guy thought he was going to be able to run who can't. And all of a sudden you look and it's like, all right, if we all go and still the west left of us trying to run through this wall, we might hurt ourselves too. So I love the idea of the ball wins. I really do. I'm a hustle guy. I'm a, you know, first to the floor wins guy. I am. But I also am an understanding of where this Sixers team at. And I kind of got smacked in the face with reality a little bit of, you know, how much the injury bug can bite the Sixers and just how much it takes for these guys to get back on the court. Like, it's not good. So I'm interested to see, does the ball still win, Nick Nurse? Let's find out. Last thing I'm looking for, my three things to watch for tonight against the Orlando Magic, and that is Maxey definitively coming out aggressive tonight and hunting his shot and looking to establish the flow for the offense. I mentioned in my podcast yesterday, or my daily podcast yesterday before the main podcast, how Wednesday night Maxey came out to look to be playmaker Maxey, right? Distributing Maxey, getting his teammates involved, getting them looks and getting them in rhythm first, and then coming in and establishing himself and getting his buckets after that. His first two plays were assists, right? And he didn't attempt a field goal until about like midway through the first quarter. He did get it going after that, but it was apparent that hunting his shot wasn't the priority when he came out of the gate. And I think tonight, it's got to be a little bit of a different story because it's a little bit of a different opponent. The Magic are a much tougher team than the Nets. A lot of teams are much tougher teams than the Nets, but especially defensively, right? So it's going to be harder for Maxey to score. Imagine if it was harder for, you know, the role players on the team to score. And while I think it is good to get them involved and get them their shots and get them on the board, I do think it's more important for him to establish that flow for himself. His Maxey is the scorer on the floor at all times right now with no PG and no Embiid. He is the scorer. So he has to be the one to get the offense going. He has to be the battery pack. And I think it's got to be early in basketball games, right? If he waits kind of midway through the first quarter to get the shot going, they could already be behind, right? Wednesday night, the Sixers were stuck at 2 points for a while. It was like under 9 minutes to go in the first quarter before they broke to four, and then all of a sudden they went on a little scoring run, right? So I think against other teams, that you can't make that kind of mistake. You can't start that slow against better teams. That will come back to hurt you. That will put you in a hole that's just too big to climb out of sometimes. And I think the best way to ward that off is our number one scorer, our best option, has to make sure that he is going, that his shot is on, and that he is in rhythm. Then we go and get our teammates involved, right? Then when more attention comes to me, then I spray the ball out to shooters. Then I dime it to Andre at the dunker. Then I get things going and start calling other plays. But Mad Max has got to come out from the gate. Those are my three things that I'm watching for tonight against the Orlando Magic. Defense from our bigs. Does the ball still win? And Maxi coming out aggressive and hunting his shot. We will see if the Sixers get it done and wrap up the preseason with a win. And we all await the start of the regular season October 23rd against the Milwaukee Bucks. Have a safe weekend, everybody. Don't do anything I wouldn't do. And I will see everybody on Monday.